want to discuss the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah together with the mitzvah of mezuzah, and it actually relates to other mitzvahs as well. And the basis for the discussion is the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. And the Gemara says, V'hilchas ha-mismol kadei she'tehi Ner Chanukah mismol mezuzah miyamin. So the Gemara says that this is where the Ner Chanukah should be placed. Me'ikar adin, the Ner Chanukah is placed by the doorway on the left side. The mezuzah is on the right side, and the Ner Chanukah is on the left side. Okay, for various reasons, in Chutz La'aretz, the practice is to light in the chalon. In this way, we are mekayim the pesumei nisa for the bnei rishus harabim, because the menorah is visible for the through the chalon into the rishus harabim. But the basic takana was to light it together with the mezuzah at the Pesach Habayis. Apparently, what the Gemara seems to be saying is that there is a certain connection between the mitzvah of mezuzah and the mitzvah of menorah. They form together one unit. Of course, in a pure halachic sense, they are entirely separate from each other. But conceptually, if we consider the concepts that underlie the mitzvahs of mezuzah and Ner Chanukah, we can understand that they form a certain unit. I think this is brought out in a very interesting way by in Masechta Sofrim, Perek Chaf. And there Masechta Sofrim says, Ner Chanukah mitzvah anichal b'pesach ha-samach l'shus harabim, she'tei mezuzah b'yamin v'ner Chanukah b'smol, l'kayei ma she'nemar, ha-pasak n'shir ha-shirim, ma yafis u'ma na'amt. Ma yafis b'mezuzah u'ma na'amt b'ner Chanukah. So the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim speaks of the beauty of Klal Yisrael. And according to Rashi's explanation of this Pasuk, this is something that even the Umos Olam will take notice of. How beautiful you are, how beautiful Klal Yisrael is, how pleasant Klal Yisrael is. The Masechta Sofrim explains how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. This speaks of the mezuzah. Ma yafis b'mezuzah u'mana amt, how pleasant you are with Ner Chanukah. And apparently this is the combination and the unit of mezuzah and Ner Chanukah together. Mezuzah speaks of the beauty of Klal Yisrael. You have to understand why. But Klal Yisrael is beautiful, and this is brought out through the mitzvah of mezuzah. But sometimes beauty, even if it's noticed, but it can be forbidding, it can be threatening, it's not approachable. But Ner Chanukah, not only does it allow the beauty of Klal Yisrael, of the mezuzah, to be noticed, but it's inviting. It's pleasant. It makes the beauty seem so pleasant and inviting to all those that observe this beauty. And we have to understand this. Now, in truth, the whole Torah is beautiful. It's interesting that in the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv that follows the recitation of Kriya Shema, so we use 16 expressions of affirmation about the recitation of Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is the verbalization of HaKabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim with all its various elements. Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, Talmud Torah, which, as the Rambam says, is the Ikar HaGadol SheHakol Tolibo. It's the foundation of Kabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim. And Tefillin and Mezuzah, Kabbalas Al Mitzvah, Tzitzis, Yitzchiris Mitzrayim. This is all part of HaKabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim. After we recite the Kabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim, we say Emes V'Yatziv V'Nachon V'Kayam V'Yashar V'Neamon V'Ho V'Chaviv V'Nechmad V'Neim V'Narav Adim Sukan V'Kubal V'Tov V'Yafeh Hadavar Z'Haleinu L'Om V'Ed. This Davar, this matter, this affirmation, this Kabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim is not, it's true, it's Emes, but we express the affirmation with 16 different adjectives from Emes to Yafeh. And this refers specifically here to Kriya Shema, but it actually refers to the entire Torah. The entire Torah is from Emes to Yafeh. But there are certain mitzvahs that perhaps enable us and others, observers, to sense the beauty in a more striking way. The beauty of the Torah is brought out by certain mitzvahs. I found a fascinating thing in one of the Perushim on Siddur, Ion Tfila, and he mentions the name of Harav HaGadol Rav Pinchas, the Baal Siddur Shar HaRachamim. Rav Pinchas, he was a Magid in the time of the Vilna Gaon in one of the big cities, and he wrote a parish on Siddur that's called Shar HaRachamim. And there he says, why did Chazal institute to use 16 different words, 16 expressions of affirmation. Why 16? From Emes to Yafa. So he gives a certain explanation, and the parish, Ion Tfila, mentions that he presented it to the Gra, to the Gaon of Vilna, and his language is Uchashihirtzod Varav Afnei HaGrazal Kalse. Gaon praised it. And what he said is that the reason there are 16 expressions of affirmation is these 16 expressions actually correspond to the 16 psukim in the first two parshas of Shema. The first parsha of Shema, if you include Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, has 7 psukim. The second parsha of Shema, Vayim Shemoa, has 9 psukim. So there are 16 psukim in the basic parshias of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, Kabbalah Samitzis. And each expression, of course, applies to the Kriya Shema in its entirety, but specifically in a more limited way to the specific psukim. So Emes corresponds to Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. And with this, he explains a very interesting thing. Actually, all these expressions are in Lashon HaKodesh except for Yatziv. Yatziv really is the Targum in Aramaic of Emes. In Daniel Beis, we see the Targum of Emes is Yatziv. Why all of a sudden is there an expression in Aramaic? So what he says is because Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed is not in the Torah. It's not really part of the Parsha. But as the Gemara in Pesachim says, this Moshe Rabbeinu heard from the Malachim. So the Malachim recited this. We said it Balachash because we took it from Malachim. We don't say it Baal Peh. So even the affirmation of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, we don't say in Lashon HaKodesh, we say in Aramaic because as Chazal say, the Malachim Yesharis don't understand Aramaic. So we say Emes, and then for Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, we say Yatziv in Aramaic, which is the Aramaic translation of Emes. Fascinating explanation. But according to this approach, if we look at Mezuzah is the seventh pasuk in the first parsha, and it's also the last two pasukim. Chsavta Mezuzah Shesecha V'Yisharecha and L'man Yirbu Yameichem V'nei V'neichem, which also relates to Mezuzah. So you have three psukim that deal with mezuzah, according to this explanation. So this chazal are really being koveya, the words of ohov tov and yafa with respect to mezuzah. So the entire Torah is yafa, has a spiritual beauty in it, but mezuzah has a very striking beauty. We have to understand what this means. Now, actually, if we consider it, there are various mitzvahs of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Kriya Shema is the verbalization of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Talmud Torah in general is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Kriya Shema is a specific form of Talmud Torah of expressing these parshios of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. But there are certain mitzvahs, actions that are taken that are Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Mezuzah is a form of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. What's written in the mezuzah? In the mezuzah are the parshios of Shema and Vahayim Shemoah. That's what's written in the mezuzah. These two parashas, this is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Tefillin is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. What are the parashas in Tefillin? The parashas in Tefillin are Kaddish Vayik V'Yachah, which deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Shema Vahim Shemoah. So you have the same elements that you have in Kriya Shema. You have the elements of Shema and Vahim Shemoah, and then you have Shkiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this is, the Tefillin is also a mitzvah of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And Tzitzis as well, we see Tzitzis is Schiris Kol HaMitzvahs. This is also included in Kriya Shema. So we see there are different kinds of mitzvahs of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Kriya Shema, we verbalize it. There are certain actions that demonstrate Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Mezuzah demonstrates Kabbalah Shemayim. Tefillin demonstrates Kabbalah Shemayim. And Tzitzis demonstrates Kabbalah Shemayim. It's interesting that we can find Maimari Chazal that speak of the beauty of all these mitzvahs. The mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of tzitzis, they're all beautiful. And they all have a beauty that is noticed by others. We can take a look. Mezuzah, let's consider mezuzah. Chazal say, the Masech HaSofrim says, mayafis u'mana'am, mayafis mezuzah. So this is something that even the Umas Olam take notice of, according to what Chazal are telling us. How about tefillin? Chazal say that an Avel Yom Rishon is potter from tefillin because tefillin is pe'er. Tefillin is a crown of glory. An Avel can't wear that which is so beautiful which is a crown of glory. An Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. And we see that the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Maseches Menachos says, Rav Blezer HaGadol Omer, V'ro kalami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yarim echa eil tefillin shavarosh. So this is something that has an impact upon observers. Someone who sees someone wearing tefillin is impacted by the beauty of the tefillin. Now, we have to understand exactly what does that mean. What does it mean that one who sees a mezuzah is overwhelmed by the beauty of mezuzah? One who sees a Jew wearing tefillin is in awe of the beauty of the tefillin. We don't necessarily see that today. It's not that common. How often do we hear someone comment, the beauty, the mezuzah is beautiful? Okay? We're not dealing with the case of the mezuzah. We're dealing with the mezuzah itself, the mitzvah of mezuzah. Do we find that people actually are in awe of the beauty of mezuzah, of the beauty of tefillin? And tzitzis as well. Chazal speak of the beauty, of the spiritual beauty of tzitzis. V'atanya ha'yeh Rav Meir Omer, manish tana tcheles mikol minei tzivonim, mipnei sha tcheles doma liyam, v'yam doma l'rekiel, rekiel kisei kavod. The tcheles of tzitzis is reminiscent of the kisei kavod of Kodesh Baruch Hu. The tcheles reminds us of the presence of the Shechina. And even when Klal Yisrael doesn't have tcheles, they tie the krichos in such a way that the number of the krichos, the gematria, represents Hashem Echad. This is what tzitzis is. Tzitzis is a reminder of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal speak of the beauty of tzitzis. And the beauty of tzitzis, what is the beauty of tzitzis? It consists in his karvas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a minug in the Siddur that when one puts on his talis, he says, Baruchi nafshi es Hashem, Hashem Elokai gadaltam od, hod v'hadar levashto, o te'or kasalmon, o te'shamayim kariya. We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu donning majesty and splendor, cloaked in light as with a garment. Why are we saying that when we put it on tzitzis? It's in a figurative sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cloaked in light as with a garment. And when we put on the tzitzis, the beauty of the tzitzis enables us to feel that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain beauty in tzitzis. This is what Chazal are telling us. If we don't feel it, then it means there's a problem. There's a beauty in mezuzah, there's a beauty in tefillin, there's a beauty in tzitzis, and the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos speaks of how this beauty of tzitzis will be noticed by the Umos HaOlam. And the Gemara says, Kol azor b'tzitzis, Zoche u'mishamshin lo beiz alofim v'ches meos avodim. The Gemara says that whoever is zoher in tzitzis will be zoche to 2,800 servants. Where do you get 2,800 servants? Because the pasuk says in Zechariah, Ko amar Hashem tzvakos b'yamim ha'hema l'asid lavo asher yachaziku asara anoshim mikol l'shonos hagoyim that 10 people from all of the nations will grab on to the corners of the begadim of Klal Yisrael and say, we want to go with you because we have heard and we have seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. So the Gemara's cheshbon is, if 10 from each of the nations hold on to the corners of the Beged, 70 nations, that's 10 from each nation, is 700. 700 for each corner is 2,800. But what the Gemara is saying is that the beauty of tzitzis is such that the Umos HaOlam Lasad Lavel themselves will realize how beautiful it is. So we find that Chazal speak of the beauty of mezuzah that is so striking, the Umos HaOlam will recognize my office. The beauty of tefillin is so striking. The beauty of tzitzis is so striking that the Umos HaOlam want to grab onto the corners of the begadim and tzitzis and say, we will go with you because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. What is this beauty? What is this beauty in mezuzah, in tzitzis, in tefillin, what is it? I think the beauty of tzitzis is the beauty of Kabbalah Olam Shamayim. But it's the beauty of Kabbalah Olam Shamayim that is brought into action. Torah is beautiful. Torah itself is beautiful. After all, the in Tehillim, the Torah, the Psukim describe the beauty of Torah and it's compared to the glory of the universe at large. This is how the Psukim and Tehillim describe it. What does the pasuk say? Hashemayim misarpim kvod kel masa yodav magid aragia magid arakia Torah Hashem tmimu mashivas nafesh hanechamodem mizav mipazrav musukim mitvash menofes tufim. What are these psukim saying? What are the psukim that this capital begins with the description of the universe at large, Hashemayim misarpim kvod kel, and then moves on to Torah, as my uncle the Rav describes it. In one of his drashas, he says as follows: God's glory manifests itself in two media. First, the cosmos with its endless energy, the dynamics of the universe, the velocity of life. That's one way in which one can perceive the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And second, the medium of the Torah, the moral law, the Jewish law. It too tells the story of God's glory. Torah is beautiful, but one has to immerse himself in Torah actually perceive and feel the beauty of Torah. But there are ways, how can we demonstrate to the world at large, how can we demonstrate to irreligious Jews who don't immerse themselves in Torah, how can we demonstrate to them the beauty of Torah? And the answer is through the mitzvahs that convey our Kabbalah Olam Shamayim. What are the mitzvahs of Kabbalah Olam Shamayim? Well, there are different mitzvahs of Kabbalah Olam Shamayim. There is Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is just a verbal declaration. We're declaring our faith and our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our commitment to fulfill his mitzvahs. Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and Kabbalah's mitzvahs. That's Kriya Shema. But what is Tefillin? Tefillin goes beyond just a verbalization. Tefillin is we wear the parashios of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim keneged halev and keneged hamoach. It's a Kabbalah Samach Shemayim of the personality. It's a question of what kind of a personality should we have. It's not just a declaration, a commitment to act in a certain way. It's a question of the Torah permeating our very existence. Our emotions and our intellect are suffused with Kabbalah Olam Shamayim. This is the kind of a person that a Jew has to be. And then we have mezuzah. What is mezuzah? Mezuzah is you have the parashas of Shema and Vohayam Shmo on the doorway. It's the Kabbalah Olam Shamayim of the bias. It's not enough to be a Kabbalah Olam Shamayim by reciting Kriya Shema in the house. One has to be a Kabbalah Olam Shamayim. It has to be a Kabbalah Olam Shamayim of the bias. What kind of environment is the home? What kind of environment does the Torah permeate every aspect of the mundane living of the home? That's what mezuzah represents. Mezuzah takes the Kabbalah Olam Shamayim that is verbalized and brings it alive as part of the relationship between husband and wife, the relationship between parents and children, as part of the relationship of as part of every aspect of a normal household. This is what Kabbalah Samach Shemayim of mezuzah is. And what is the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim of tzitzis? Kabbalah Samach Shemayim of tzitzis is in tzitzis. What is the mitzvah of tzitzis? You take the chutim of tcheles and you take the chutim of lovin and you bind them together. What does the chutim of tcheles represent? Tcheles is essentially dom elekisei hakavod. Tcheles represents one's spiritual activities. What does lovin represent? Lovin represents one's mundane activities. We don't lead separate lives. We don't lead one life in the Beis HaKnesset and Beis Medrash, and then when we go out to work or any other aspect of our lives we become different human beings? No. The tchelas and the lovan have to be bound together so that even the mundane aspects of life, the chutei lovan, are bound together with our awareness of the presence of the Shekhinah with the tchelas. So tzitzis is the kapos of shemayim, of hashroas Shekhinah wherever we go. We may have a holy environment in the Beis HaKnesses. We may have a holy environment at home because of the mitzvah mezuzah. But what if we leave the Beis HaKnesses? What if we leave our home? What if we go out into the Rishus HaRabim? What if we go out into other domains over which we have no control? Then what happens to the Hashroas HaShekhinah? It comes with us. That's tzitzis. That's the Sechiras Kol Mitzvahs. Whatever we're doing, the Shekhinah is with us. And these are the different forms of Kabbalas Ol Shamayim. And there is a beauty to these mitzvahs. The beauty of the Torah is brought out by how we act, even when we're not learning. How do we act? What kind of a home do we have? Someone who's not immersed in Talmud Torah, feels the beauty of Talmud Torah whenever you learn. But someone who's not immersed in Talmud Torah will not take notice of the beauty of Talmud Torah. If we want to demonstrate the beauty of Talmud Torah to Jews, to irreligious Jews that are not immersed in Talmud Torah, we need the mitzvah of mezuzah. We have to demonstrate what a Jewish home ought to be like. What does it mean, kabbalah v'malach shemayim v'debayis? How does it affect the relationship between husband and wife? How does it affect the relationship between parents and children? How does it affect the relationship between a person and his neighbors? You know, 2 years ago, we learned Baba Basra. So we learned Hashutvim and Lo Yachbar, and this deals with Nitzei Shechinam, how you have to treat neighbors. What rights one person has as opposed to his neighbor's rights. Now, I can say learning Lo Yachbar with the difficult Balamor and the Ramban, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. You go into it and you understand the basic principles. It's beautiful. But if I would invite a religious Jews to a shir in Lo Yachbar, I don't think they would see any beauty. They're not immersed in it. They don't understand it. But if they see how you, a Jew, ought to treat neighbors and respect each other's rights, then they understand the beauty of Lo Yachbar. Then they understand the beauty of Hashutvim, even if they won't put it in those words. Then they understand, my yofis, how beautiful you are, how beautiful your Torah is. What is tefillin? Tefillin is the kabbalas ol malach shamayim, the personality. Tefillin speaks of the lave, the heart, the emotions are suffused with Torah. The Torah permeates one's emotions. The Torah permeates one's moach, one's intellect. I don't really know how to put it in words. How do you describe a person of that caliber? But we know what it is. When a person has a certain Kedushas HaGavra that you can feel in his presence. I recall just seeing my father, Tzatzal, I could feel that Kedushas HaGavra. And there's a story I like to tell. I've told it many times. It's already a while since I repeated it. For those of you that remember the story, forgive me. But I remember a number of months after my father's patira, so I was walking in Chicago, and I was walking on Devon Avenue, for those that know the streets in Chicago, and I heard someone calling me from a distance. I was so allergic, he was yelling, he wanted to get my attention. So I turned around, and there was someone by the name of Rav in Chicago, his name was Rabbi Weinkrantz. So he calls me, he says, I have to tell you a story. He said, I came back yesterday from New York. He said, I flew out of Newark. And I was checking my bags and outdoor checking. And it was a big line. He says, and one of the people handling the luggage, one of the porters, comes over to me and he saw I'm a religious Jew. He said, there used to be a rabbi that would fly every week from Chicago to New York and back. He said, do you know his name? So I said, I didn't understand. What did he want from me? So I said, perhaps you mean Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said, okay, you go to the front of the line. So he said, I didn't understand. What is this all about? He said, when we heard that the rabbi passed away, he says, we were so saddened, I decided I have to make a memorial. And this is the memorial. Anyone who knows his name goes to the front of the line. Now, what was it that caused him to feel that way? I guarantee you, this porter had sat in my father's shiurim in Tarek Maruba, I don't think he would have been impressed. The shiurim were beautiful. But he wouldn't have seen the beauty of the Torah. But it was in the personality. It was in the way he dealt with people. It was the way he talked to people. I can't even define it. But there's a certain Torah personality when the Torah actually permeates a person's emotions, a person's intellect, the way you talk to people, the way you care about people. People understand this is beautiful. This is beautiful. People understand, they see the beauty of the Torah through the mitzvah tefillin. V'ro'u kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaron mecha. That's tefillin. And tzitzis as well. Tzitzis as well. What is tzitzis? Tzitzis is the kabbal somach shemayim when we go out into the world. How do we act when we're engaged in other endeavors? When we're in all types of environments? Do we feel the presence of the Shekhinah? Do we act with integrity? Are we honest about all our dealings? Do we treat people with respect? Is there a fear of heaven that is obvious in all our actions? If there is, that's beautiful. There's tcheles and there's lavan. Wherever one goes, even when he's busy with the lavan, with the chutei lavan, it's bound and wrapped around by the chutei tcheles that hold everything together. That's beautiful. Then if we do that, if Klal Yisrael does that, then the Umas Olman want to grab onto the corners and say, Hashem Imachem. We want to be with you. That's the beauty, the striking beauty of mezuzah, of tefillin, of tzitzis. The title of the shiur is Current Events with the Prism of Mezuzah and the Mezuzah and the Menorah. I certainly do not want to speak about specific issues, but we all know that there are so many things that we read about in the Jewish news, in the secular news, that does not create a pretty, or certainly not beautiful picture of Klal Yisrael and unfortunately, of the Torah. But that's because we're not presenting it properly. Because they don't see the mezuzah. They don't see the beauty of the mezuzah. They don't see the beauty of Torah being reflected in family life. Or they don't see the beauty of Torah being reflected in the tzitzis, in the way one acts when he goes out into the world. Is it the tcheles that wraps everything around? Or is it desire for money that wraps everything around? What is that binds all the chutim of our lives together? The beauty of Torah is brought out by mezuzah, by the kind of homes we present. If there's homes of harmony, if we treat each other with respect, by tefillin, the types of personalities we have, by tzitzis, the way we act when we go out into the world. And as Bnei Torah, it's our responsibility, and it's within our ability to present the beauty of the Torah to all Jews, even those that are very far removed from Shmiras HaMitzvahs. And this is not the first time that Klal Yisrael faces this challenge. And at the time of Hashemayim, there certainly was a general weakness in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. This is something that I saw my uncle, the Rav, describes in one of his drashas. At that time, there was a threat of intermarriage and assimilation. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara discusses Maisa Be'echad Sharochav HaLasus B'Shavas, and Rashi explains urgency in dealing with that situation, because shehayu prutzim ba'averas, shehayu roin lochatzon shel Yisrael, shehayu avonim hayegozer aleihem gzeres v'hayu mitzvos bezuyos aleihem. Rashi says at that time the mitzvos were bezuyos. The people had no concern or interest whatsoever in the mitzvahs because of the oppression. And the Gemara speaks of Beis Dinor Shel Chashmonaim that made all sorts of gzeras in order to prevent intermarriage. Habal akusis chayav olam mishum nashkaz, to make the to prevent any possibilities of intermarriage. So there certainly were problems with Jews that weren't committed to Shmiras HaMitzvos. And today, unfortunately, we have similar problems in Chutz La'aretz and even Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael, where there is so much Torah and so much commitment to mitzvahs, but there are many irreligious Jews as well. And it's the responsibility of Nei Torah to demonstrate the beauty of the Torah to the irreligious Jews. How do we do it? We do it through mezuzah, through tzitzis, through tefillin. But even though there are many Jewish homes that do have mezuzahs in the full conceptual sense, that their homes are suffused with kabbalas olam shamayim, but there's still a problem. For some reason, the irreligious Jews don't see it. They don't behold this beauty. It goes unnoticed. And perhaps it's even threatening and frightening to them. And why is that? There's some sort of a wall that separates the beauty of the Jewish home from public view. No one sees it. Why don't they see it? What is this wall that keeps people from seeing the beauty of the Torah, the beauty of the Jewish home, the beauty of the mezuzah? This wall is ill will. There's all sorts of conflicts between religious Jews and irreligious Jews. They don't even want to look at the beauty of the Jewish home. We have to somehow remove the ill will. And this is what the mitzvah of menorah represents. What is the mitzvah of menorah? It's not enough to have mezuzah. It's not enough to make your home spiritually beautiful. That beauty, the light of the beauty of the home has to shine out into the Rishus HaRabim. It has to be something that is noticed. It has to be welcoming. It has to be pleasant. It has to be inviting. Mayofis umana amt. The beauty of the home has to shine out into Rishus HaRabim. This is the combination of mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. This is what Ner Chanukah tells us. We have a responsibility to other Jews. We have to reach out to other Jews. The ill will has to be removed. There has to be a sense of responsibility that encourages them to look and feel and appreciate the beauty of mezuzah. Mayofis umana amt. Mayofis mezuzah mana amt b'ner Chanukah. And I think that in this respect, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah actually has a common message with the parshios that we are reading now. The parshios of Vayigash, of Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. These parshios deal with the conflict between the Shvatim and Yosef. Okay? Now we have to understand that when we read in the Torah about a conflict between Yosef and his brothers, although, of course, simply we're reading about something that took place a long time ago, but from the perspective of Masa Avo Simen Labonim, we are actually reading about the Golus that we are in now. And this is something that the Sforno brings out in his Parish on Vayeshev. It's also something that's implicit in the Ramban, on the Pasuk of Kasher Shacholti, Shacholti. From the perspective of Masa Ava Simen Labonim, as the Sforno says, Yaakov's Golus to Haran, the time he spent with Lavan, represents Churban Bayis Rishon. But the conflict between Yosef and his brothers, that represents Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Sheni took place because of Sinas Chinam, because of Machlokas, and the Machlokas, the conflict in Yosef's brothers represents the eventual Churban Bayis Sheni because of Sinas Chinam. And the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers actually represents the Geula Shleima of Lo'asid Lavo. And this is what we are reading about when we read these parshiyos in the Torah. And this is brought out in the Haftarah of Vayigash. Vayigash that speaks of the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. The Haftarah describes the unity of Klal Yisrael, Lo'asid Lavo. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine ani lokeach es b'nei Yisrael b'nei agoyim asher holchu sham. V'kivatzti osam misaviv. Ve'vesi osam al admasam. V'asisi osam l'goy echad ba'aretz b'harei Yisrael. U'melech echad yiyeh l'chulam l'melech. So the psukim in Yecheskel speak of the eventual unity, achdus, of Klal Yisrael and the Geula Shleima. So it's important to understand what brought about the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. If we want to be able to advance unity, achdus, and Klal Yisrael today, we have to understand what brought about the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. I think we have to take notice of something very interesting. And a certain question I have. I'm sure I'm not the first one who asked this question, but I haven't seen the question asked. And that is, what's very interesting, you know, the Torah is broken into parshios. When I speak parshios, I don't mean parshas HaShavuah. Because parshas HaShavuah, these are minhagim, how we read the Torah, how we break it up into the Kriya every Shabbos. But the Torah itself is broken up into parshios. There are spaces between one parsha and another in the Torah. It's interesting that the entire Miketz is one parsha. There's no break. There's no spaces. In terms of Parsha Shavuah, the only two Parsha Shavuah that actually are, there's no break in the middle, is Vayetze and Miketz. But Miketz is one parsha. So from Vayihi Miketz, Nasayim Yomim, Uparo Chaleim, till the end of the parsha, where the Gavia was found, Vamtachas bin Yamin, and Yosef says, Vayomer Chalilali Me'asozos, I'm not going to take you all as Avodim. No, ha'ish asher nimtzah ha'gaviya b'yado, hu yieli oved, v'atem alu l'shalom alvichem. That's all one parsha. It's all one parsha. Apparently, it's one inyan. There's no real place for a break. It's all one inyan. So what really disturbed me is, I don't understand. Why is there a break here? Why is this an end of the parsha? In terms of the parsha of the Torah, this isn't the conclusion of the story. I mean, Yosef is saying, Binyamin will be my Eved. Is the story over? No, then there's Vayigash, I love Yehuda. He makes his plea to Yosef. And then there's a reconciliation. Yosef says, Ani Yosef, Aud Avichai. The story isn't over when Yosef says, Hu Yili Eved, he'll be my slave. Is that the end of the story? Vatam Alul Shalom Avichai. Why is, if there's no break from Vayhi Mikesh Nasayim Yomim, the whole story of Paro's dreams about the years of famine and how Yosef collected all the grain, that's all, it's all one inyan, all one parsha. All of a sudden here the parsha is over? How does the Torah divide it in this way? But in order to understand that, I think we have to consider the word Vayigash. And this is something that the Mefarshim are troubled by. Vayigash literally means he came close. Yehuda came close. He was talking to Yosef. He was talking all along. So what does it mean he came close? For what purpose did he come close? And yes, Chazal say that Ein Hagosha al Loshen Pius. Hagosha means appeasement, reconciliation. Ein Hagosha al Loshen Tfila. Means he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asked for Siyai to the Shemaya. Ein Hagosha al Loshen Melchama, he was ready to fight. It means all these things. But what is the primary meaning of Hagosha? I think the primary meaning of Hagosha, and this is something that's brought out by the Aruch Hayom on Chumash, and I think it's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. He says, Hikriv Daito Uritzono Elov L'Avo L'Chavavo Kideshetiskarev Daito Shel Yosef Elov. Yehuda felt he had this divine inspiration that this was a time to come close to Yosef. he felt when he heard Yosef's words, "Vatem alu l'sholom avichem," he had this sense that Yosef didn't want to fight. Yosef really wasn't interested in taking Binyamin as an abbot. He didn't know why, but he had that sense. And he had this divine inspiration. He was zocha to siyata d'shmaya. As a result of his tefillas, he was zocha to siyata d'shmaya to understand that Yosef wasn't interested in conflict. So although Yehuda was ready to fight, but primarily he wanted to come close. He wanted to, in a demonstrative way, show that there was a certain ahava between them. Now, that would seem unusual under the circumstances, but this was a divine inspiration. When he heard Yosef say, "Vatem alu l'shalom," it wasn't in the context of the words themselves, because Yosef was saying, "Hu yili aved, hu yili aved, Binyamin li aved," but the way he said it, the way the words came out of his mouth, Yehuda somehow felt he doesn't want to fight. So Vayigash Elov, although he was ready for melchama, he was ready to fight if necessary, and he was mispal for siyata d'shmaya, but he felt this is a time to demonstrate ahava, to demonstrate friendship, to demonstrate love. Perhaps this will solve the problem. And we find afterwards the same lashon vayigash that the Torah describes Yehuda's approach to Yosef. The Torah says later, "Vayomer Yosef el achav, ani Yosef. Vayomer Yosef el achav, gishu no elai vayigashu." The same vayigash that Yehuda began with, Yosef concludes. He says, "Come close." It was a sense of ahava, of reconciliation. The Ribbon Shalom enabled Yehuda to understand that the approach has to be one of ahava. Why was he zocha to that? Perhaps because of his commitment of arvus. He told Yaakov, "Anochi ervenu miyadi tevakshenu." He said, "I take responsibility." He said to Yosef, "Ki avdecha orav esanar." That commitment of arvus enabled him to merit divine assistance, divine inspiration, to know when it was the time to come close, to demonstrate friendship. I think this is brought out in the Medrash HaGadol. The Medrash HaGadol says on this pasuk, "Kaven sheshama oso shu omer vatem alu l'shalom." When Yehuda heard Yosef say, "You go l'shalom," even though he said, "Hu yili aved," miyad, immediately, hishlim nafsho v'nispagish imo, who himself acted with shalom and came close to meet with him. Minayan v'masha samach le'inyan. How do you see this? You see it from the next pasuk. Vayigash elav Yehuda. So vayigash is not really a continuation of the dialogue. The conflict was over. He understood from Yosef's words, from his tone, from his presentation, that there was no conflict. Now all they needed was a formal reconciliation. That was the Vayigash Elav Yehuda. That was the end of the parsha. This is the end of the parsha. Now it's a new beginning. Vayigash Elav Yehuda is a new beginning. But the Medrash continues, "Ukeshem shenespagesh Yehuda b'Yosef l'sho'avar." Just as Yehuda came close to Yosef, and he met with him, and they reconciled in the past. Kach asidim lespagesh ba'achras hayomim. So too, Klal Yisrael will unify in the achras hayomim. Shenemar hine yamim bo'im nu'm Hashem v'nigash choresh ba'kotzer. And this, according to the Medrash, speaks of the unity of different groups within Klal Yisrael. So we have the mitzvahs of mezuzah, of tefillin, of tzitzis, mitzvahs that present the beauty of the Torah. So even those that are not immersed in the Torah can sense the beauty of Klal Yisrael, the beauty of Klal Yisrael's immersion in Torah. But it has to be presented in a way that it can be felt. There has to be a ne'imus. There has to be the concept that underlies the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. There has to be a sense of arvus, of responsibility, of a willingness to reach out to Rishus HaRabim. It has to be presented with ne'imus. There has to be pleasantness. What does that mean? That means that although there are conflicts within Klal Yisrael, and we cannot compromise on one iota of the halacha, that's not an option. We don't achieve shalom by compromising on the Torah. We have to be ready sometimes for melchama. We have to mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'siyata d'shmaya. But even when we're ready to fight, still the primary approach has to be a demonstration of pious, of ava and friendship. One can fight and still demonstrate ava. One doesn't fight with sinna that's destructive. Even one fights, he has to fight where he primarily is interested in shalom. This is the message of Ner Chanukah. This is the message of the reconciliation of Yosef and his brothers. And this is the way we can truly achieve the mayofis and mana amt, the beauty and the pleasantness of Klal Yisrael as a whole.